Whether you're a man yourself or a woman who cares about the men in your life, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Join John Kleinig, Hans Feeney, Jeffrey Hemmer, Broer Erickson, and others in this power-packed issue on men at church as they explore toxic masculinity, godly fatherhood, the religious gender gap, and more. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
I have not been single for a long, long time, 31 plus years, so it's hard to remember what it was like. It really is. You, believe it or not, you actually forget what it was like to be single. A lot of people are living those single lives. They are hoping for marriage. Maybe some of them, young ladies, are hoping for marriage as well. They're Christians. They want to eventually be married to a Christian man. It's part of what's important to them. Does it make sense, then, to marry an unbeliever? I mean, after all, you do have the promise that perhaps through the believing spouse, the unbelieving spouse might be brought to faith. But is that absolute in every case? We're going to be talking about some pastoral advice for single Christian women. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a column for the latest issue of The Lutheran Witness titled An Open Letter to Single Ladies. Hans, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Very glad to be here.
What is Einstein's famous observation about men, women, and marriage, and why is it pertinent to this conversation?
Yeah, I don't know if Einstein ever actually said it. I haven't found any proof that he said it other than the internet, which you may know is not terribly reliable. I suppose there is sort of the question, too, as to whether or not theoretical physicists are known for astute observations about interactions between men and women. But nonetheless, the quote is, women marry men hoping they will change, men marry women hoping they will not, so each is inevitably disappointed.
So how does that bear upon some simple pastoral advice for single Christian women?
Well, yeah, so especially for single Christian women, it's important for them to understand that when a man enters into a marriage, he is generally of the mindset that things are going to stay the way that they are. Men tend to look at marriage in terms of contracts, and women tend to look at marriage oftentimes in terms of like buying a house that needs to be refurbished and fixed up and things of that nature. So men are usually of the mindset where they expect their wives to stay the same, and if they go into a marriage and their wife doesn't expect something of them, namely, in the case of Christian women, if they go into a marriage expecting that their wives are not going to expect them to come to church, if their wives have given them every indication by virtue of marrying them without them being believers that they're fine with this, men expect that to stay the same, and they will not be happy. They will feel like you're trying to retroactively change the terms and conditions of the contract if their wives suddenly insist that they never actually were fine with, or that they're no longer fine with the idea of their husbands being unbelievers.
So, in other words, if 10 years down the line, if the kids have been born and mom is still taking the kids to church and Sunday school every Sunday and dad's still sitting on the back porch smoking a cigar or out fishing someplace, and she says, when are you going to start coming to church with us? He's going to view that as breach of contract.
Exactly.
What's the best advice you can give to a single Christian woman who wants to eventually be married to a Christian man?
Marry a guy who's already a Christian. I think that's the simplest advice. The simplest advice I think you can give to women in any circumstances with regard to selecting a mate is, if you want a guy to have certain traits, make sure that he has them before you marry him, because he's not super likely to develop them after you marry him. He may change in some kind of artificial ways. He might get better about picking up laundry and helping out and things of that nature. If he's never changed a diaper before, he may, you know, be up to the task for that. But if it's something that was certainly within his power to be doing beforehand, such as going to church, don't expect that he is going to start simply out of love for you, because if he were going to do it, he would have probably already started at that point.
So how do you respond to a young lady who says, look, I've read my Bible and I've seen what Paul says in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, where he talks about the believing spouse and the unbelieving spouse, and perhaps, who knows, through the believing spouse, the unbelieving spouse might be brought to faith. And I'm going to be that believing spouse. What do you say?
Well, yeah, there's. I think the way you want to approach things is that there's a difference between how a woman should view the idea of an unbelieving husband if she's not married, and how she should view the idea of a believing husband if she is already married. So obviously, women who have married men who are not Christians should honor their marital vows. They should stay within that marriage. They should seek to be a good influence on their husbands, to pray for them, to lead them to the Word, and to pray that the Holy Spirit will create faith in them. But yeah, you certainly approach things differently if you haven't actually entered into that marriage. And, you know, in the same way that if a woman has married a guy who is struggling with drug addiction, then she should certainly be faithful to him, should certainly seek to be the means through which God gives him relief and help and aid. But it's probably not the wisest idea in the world to marry a guy who has a drug habit and then convince yourself, but don't worry, eventually he'll get over it and everything will be fine.
And this actually has some pretty long-term bearing upon the children that come from such marriages as well. If I'm not mistaken, I've just heard this kind of anecdotally cited as some sort of truth, that the strongest indicator of whether or not children will continue in the Christian faith is whether or not their father was a church-going man, and they saw that he took the kids to church. What kind of long-term effects could this have?
Yeah, so from some of the research I've seen, it's kind of actually rather interesting. So if both of your parents don't go to church, you are obviously quite unlikely to go to church as an adult. You're basically guaranteed to not go to church as an adult. If only your mother takes you, you're not terribly likely to go to church as an adult. If both of your parents take you, you're fairly likely to go. And actually, if only your father takes you, you're even more likely to go. You're the most likely to go out of all of those groups. Now, that's obviously shouldn't be an incentive for women to stop showing up on Sunday mornings and to stop going with their families. Rather, I think what you see in those statistics is that, you know, in marriages where both the father and the mother go, you're going to have a lot of cases of men who are just there because they don't want to get hassled, but they're not super involved in this. They never crack open a Bible at home and things of that nature. But in the cases where it's only the man who goes, those are the pure examples where you know this guy is taking his responsibility as the spiritual head of his household seriously. He's taking very seriously his responsibility to raise his children in the fear and trust of the Lord. And so, when kids see that this matters to their father, they take it seriously. And when kids see that their fathers don't take it seriously at all, it's very difficult to convince them of the importance of this stuff. And so, you know, mom can try and teach her kids the importance of and how important and how valuable and how essential it is to believe in Jesus. But if they can always look at her and say, well, then why doesn't dad believe it? Why did you, if it matters so much, why did you marry a guy who doesn't care about it and very well might even be openly hostile to it? It's a bit confusing and difficult for children to understand those things. So when they see that their fathers are firmly engaged in the Christian faith, they don't grow up to eventually say, the church is just a place for kind of old ladies and overly sentimental women and women in bad marriages who are trying to, you know, fix their problems in life. When they see their fathers engaged and involved, and when they see men involved in the congregation, they see that this is the Christian faith actually means something by virtue of the fact that it belongs to everyone.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about some pastoral advice for single Christian women on this Tuesday afternoon. He's author of a column for the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled An Open Letter to Single Ladies. Stay tuned.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, the Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. Free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Ed Gruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's AdCruesem.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting some pastoral advice for single Christian women with Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a column in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled An Open Letter to Single Ladies. He's also going to be the kickoff speaker at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for the centrality of the doctrine of justification at our Making the Case Conference. It's only 3 days from today in Collinsville, Illinois. Child care is free through the generosity of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and registration for the conference is $120 and includes three meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. You can learn more, and you can still register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. Does this apply, what we're talking about here, young Christian, well, it doesn't have to be young, a Christian single lady who wants to be married to a Christian man, does it also apply in some other sense to marrying outside your particular confession of Christianity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times, you know, love makes people do dumb things, and hormones mistaken for love make people do really dumb things. And one of the things that people oftentimes think is they have this sort of youthful, idealistic notion that love will conquer all and that they will be able to solve the challenges of a mixed faith marriage simply by loving each other, which is the typical of this very kind of youthful, arrogant mindset that, oh, everyone else where this didn't work for, it must have been because they didn't love each other enough, but don't worry, you know, my potential husband and I love each other so much we'll be able to solve these problems. And then people don't realize that, well, the problem is that it's not just that you're trying to figure out how to sort of accommodate each other. It's that you know, in theory it sounds great, and then all of a sudden you go to church with this guy who, you know, might be a Baptist or things of that nature, and you realize this doesn't at all feel like the worship service you were used to, and you may start off thinking, oh, we're both Christians, it's all basically the same, and then all of a sudden you discover, well, wait a minute, they worship in ways that are odd, and they don't believe that the Lord's Supper is really the body and blood of Jesus, and so that affects the way that they view the whole concept of worship, and you feel out of place the entire time, and he comes to church with you and he feels equally out of place because it's such a foreign experience to him. So neither of you actually wants to go to church with the other person, and so what you generally then settle on is just not going at all. That's kind of the only commonality that you have. And then all of a sudden you have kids, and especially if you marry someone who doesn't believe in infant baptism, well, then you've got this whole issue of, well, are you going to get your kids baptized? So that becomes this huge conflict that you're going to have to figure out a way to solve. And the problem is that you can't solve it by just loving your spouse, because you also have the love of your child and the love of your God, and you're trying to be faithful to your God, trying to give the gift of eternal life in the waters of baptism to your child, and you can't yield on those points for the sake of loving your husband without compromising that love for God and for your child. And likewise, you know, if you're, say, you're a Lutheran and you're marrying a Roman Catholic, well, then you have this whole question of, well, where do we have the child baptized? And we got to take this kid somewhere. It's not going to really work to try and bounce the kid back and forth from one church to another, especially when it comes to, you know, time to go through instruction and things of that nature. And so you have to solve these problems, and you have all these compelling forms of love and these competing interests. So all of a sudden you discover that your youthful idealistic hope that you would be able to just transcend these problems by loving each other doesn't actually work out, and that you actually have to deal with these conflicts.
Someone's going to say, Pastor Feeney, I understand what you mean here, but a good man is hard to find, and you have just narrowed my prospects severely.
Well, I think there's a much more optimistic way to look at things. The analogy I use for this is buying a guitar. So back in the days when people used to go into stores to buy things, I used to go into this music store near my hometown, music store in Indianapolis. And I'm a left-handed fella, so I would go in to look at guitars, and when you go into one of these stores that has like 5,000 guitars in the place, and they'll have 5,000 guitars, and then they'll have four left-handed guitars. And I always loved that, because I couldn't figure out how do you whittle down the process and filter through everything when there's so many options before you. Well, being left-handed was great, because it knocked everything down to just three or four options, and then you go, great, then all I have to do is figure out kind of which of these works for me. And so in that same set of circumstances, the idea that you got to filter through everyone and go through all this stuff, and you go, well, how am I going to find the right person if there are 80 bajillion people surrounding you that are in contention for the spot of your potential spouse? Well, when your faith is the primary thing that's driving what you're looking for and driving you to find the person who fits for you, then all of a sudden you find that list whittled down to, you know, maybe just be three or four folks that you know, three or four guys you'd like to get to know a little bit better. And from there, you don't have this kind of massive swarming ball of potential suitors. You just narrow things down to what matters and what's important, and it's actually a much easier decision to make at that point.
Could some of this also, I'm thinking about the third option here, which is she's in love with a guy, maybe even be an unbeliever, but she simply says to him, look, I can't marry you if you're an unbeliever. I can't marry you if you're not of the same faith. Let's go talk to pastor.
Right.
Is that, with about a minute or so here, is that a viable option here for this single Christian woman?
Yeah, it's viable-ish, and there obviously have been a lot of people who have come to the faith genuinely in circumstances like that, a lot of men who have just never really heard about the Christian faith before at all and just needed to have someone tell them about it, and that was all it took for the Holy Spirit to create faith in their hearts. You know, kind of the challenge with that still is that there's always sort of this question of, did he actually convert because he believes it, or did he just convert to make you happy? And if he just converted to make you happy, you're still going to run into problems on down the line, and of course it hasn't solved the root problem, which is the fact that he needs to be united to Christ through faith. So the best advice I could give in those circumstances is, ladies, if you go out with a guy who's not a Christian, doesn't go to church, invite him to go to church with you after the first or second date, and if he says no, move on.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a column in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled An Open Letter to Single Ladies. Check out the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Hans, thanks for being our guest. Look forward
My
to
pleasure.
Seeing you on Friday.
All right. Looking forward to it.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Annette Sweeney, an Iowa State senator who has been working hard along with a lot of other people to get a bill in Iowa protecting the unborn. It's called Iowa's Fetal Heartbeat Law. That's what they're just referring to it as, but it has some other stuff in it. And a district court, well, actually the law, the bill was passed into law, and the governor signed it into law, and that's a good thing. Well, just recently a district court judge has said, let's wait. He has temporarily halted the motion of this law. We'll find out what that means right after this. Then we'll spend some time talking about how you talk to Mormons with Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.